A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening. This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Maria Chaleos, in today for Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story this hour. A suspect is still at large after reportedly opening fire on random cars on I-15 in Juab County, injuring two people. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Officials with the Utah Highway Patrol say they have increased the amount of troopers patrolling I-15 in Juab County, but they understand if people want to change their travel plans while investigators search for the suspect. Sergeant Cameron Roden says they don't have much to work with other than the suspect vehicle is described as a light-colored older model SUV similar to a Jeep Cherokee.
Police say the suspect hit four cars between Scipio and the Utah County line, three of them going south and one of them going north. Summit County Police made a huge marijuana bust after a bizarre accident that killed a pedestrian. KSL News Radio's Kira Hoffelmeyer reports this happened on SR 224 over the weekend.
This black BMW was going into Park City when it struck a car in an intersection. The momentum forced the BMW onto the raised divider, and it hit a pedestrian there who was panhandling. The Summit County Sheriff's Office is looking into whether the BMW driver might have ran the light. The BMW continued into oncoming traffic, hitting another car that then fled the scene. Police found that car and found 208 pounds of marijuana inside.
The driver of that car has been arrested and booked into Summit County's jail on drug charges. Our top national story this hour. Three students are dead in Oakland Township, Michigan, after a school shooting this afternoon. Police say the 15-year-old suspect is in custody. Oakland County Undersheriff Michael McCabe told reporters the suspect is not cooperating with the investigation.
We have talked to the parents, and all I can tell you is they didn't want their son to talk to us, and they've hired an attorney.
We are hearing from a student at Oxford High School. Aiden Page tells ABC his teacher barricaded the door as soon as they heard the gunshots.
Definitely panicked. I was breathing. I was just trying to stay in control, think rationally. We ended up covering the windows. We all had something to throw. We each had scissors, so if we needed to, we could attack.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer became emotional when asked as a mom her reaction to the shooting.
I think this is every parent's worst nightmare.
President Biden also addressed today's deadly shooting.
As we learn the full details, my heart goes out to the families enduring the unimaginable grief of losing a loved one.
We will continue to bring you the latest information on the shooting throughout the afternoon. Testimony from a pilot as the trial kicked off against Jeffrey Epstein's associate and former girlfriend. ABC's Aaron Katursky reports.
Jeffrey Epstein's private pilot, Larry Vysotsky, established Ghislaine Maxwell as Epstein's number two, who handled most of the finances and spending in the office. Vysotsky also took the jury on a visual tour of Epstein's properties and introduced the jury to a new name, Sarah Kellen, described as a personal assistant to Maxwell. A number of women have said Kellen brought them into Epstein's allegedly lurid world. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Manhattan Federal Court.
Provo City has a new chief of police. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has details.
This is Fred Ross.
I don't take this responsibility lightly. You're going to see me at all hours of the night, the weekends.
He's a Utah native and the new Provo police chief. He was introduced at the new City Hall and Public Safety Building this morning by Mayor Michelle Cafusi. Chief Ross served as the UTA police chief and has more than three decades of policing under his belt. He was named 1997's National Community Policing Officer of the Year.
I look forward to carrying the rich traditions of this police department forward, and we will make this the safest city in America.
Ross fills the opening left by now former chief Rich Ferguson, who retired in March. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Ogden's famous Topper Bakery won't be offering Christmas cookies or any gingerbread men this December after a fire damaged the shop in August. But the Standard Examiner reports the good news is the owners still plan to reopen shop in 2022. When the bakery does open its doors, the inside will be mostly renovated, but the iconic ceramic floor in front of the shop will still be there. KSL News Time, 5:04. Utah is trying to repopulate its desert bighorn sheep species. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has details on the Division of Wildlife Resources' new nursery.
Several populations of Utah's bighorn sheep were decimated by disease, and the numbers in other groups are dwindling due to domestic sheep grazing. So the DWR is teaming with Utah-based company Young Living. The Essential Oils Company is donating 1,800 acres of land in Duchesne County to help replenish the herds.
The DWR says the nursery will allow us to have our own internal bighorn sheep population and maintain healthy herds. The Hogle Zoo has a new Amur tiger named Sasha. She's a two-year-old coming in from Rolling Hills Zoo in Kansas. You won't be able to see Sasha just yet because she's still acclimating to her new habitat, but the zoo says that she is settling in well. The new addition comes after the zoo's 18-year-old tiger, Celia, died just over a month ago.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.